Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today, we have the wonderful opportunity to have Miss Marta Krisovich, puppy raiser from the Autism Service Dogs of America, and might I add, a silent participant right now, Vienna? Is that her name? Thank you for being with us today, Marta.
Thank you, Missy.
So I'm really curious about this organization. Vienna is currently your puppy you're raising.
Yes.
And how did you get involved in this organization, and how did you get involved in puppy raising?
In 2001, I lost a dog, my own personal dog, when I shouldn't have. Mm. I was devastated. And across the street, a woman who wrote for Sunset Magazine said, you know, locally, we have the Guide Dogs of America, and they just need people to go and sit with their new puppies. The puppies are still with their mothers. Just sit with them and get them used to being around people. That blossomed into becoming a puppy raiser for them, which was wonderful. I learned a lot. The organization's fabulous, but Guide Dogs for the Blind is really very large. They have a lot of dogs. So I over time gravitated to Autism Service Dogs of America, which is just a little bit more of a family, a smaller, cozier group, another fabulous organization.
And so how many dogs have you raised? How many puppies have you raised at this point?
This is our fourth.
My goodness. Walk us through a little bit of that process. So you became involved as a consequence of a loss in your own home. And then you started with one organization. And then how did the ball continue to roll?
I never planned to keep doing it. I just wanted to learn, use my grief as a time to learn about puppies, dogs, so that I could be a better dog owner when I got my own. But it was so satisfying to be involved. And I had a nephew who was going blind, which made it all the more appropriate for me at the time. So the evolution is you get training from the organization, whichever organization you're with, and a lot of support, a ton of support every step of the way. With Autism Service Dogs of America, the dogs are bred for this. They come from parents that have proven themselves to be really good
as
creating dogs that are good for this. But even from that, they are chosen from among their litters to have just the right temperament. And they are exposed to sights, sounds, textures from early on. And that's part of how they are evaluated. Once they make it out of their wean from their mother, they actually spend at least a month with a professional trainer who just does autism, master's prepared, and they teach that dog a lot. By the time the dog comes to me, when the dog's around 4 months old, they already are basically housebroken, and they know a lot of commands. They will forget those commands immediately if I don't reinforce them because they're so young. But it's really cool to have this four-month-old puppy who already knows how to sit and come and stay and things like that, and who's partly, mostly housebroken.
I did not realize, so you are really focusing on autism. You're not really training a puppy to be just, a housebroken puppy or integrated into your family. A professional trainer introduces those ideas or those service priorities for the puppy. Do you also go through a training to continue to reinforce and teach those appropriate skill sets that is needed for an autistic child or an autistic young adult?
Yes, it's a little bit more complicated because the organization's in Portland. Most of their puppy raisers are in Portland, but they have a whole group of puppy raisers in Southern California, and then I'm up here. Mm-hmm. And there's another puppy raiser over in Friday Harbor.
I see.
So it did help that I had already done it before, but whether you've done it before, whether you've even had a dog before, the puppy raiser trainers, there's a person at the staff who has that master's prepared background in dog behavior, mm-hmm. and she just does puppies. And she focuses on all the puppy raisers and stays in close, close contact. So I went down there and got individualized training from her. Whenever I can, I go down there for a monthly meeting. But even if I'm not there for the monthly meeting, which is additional training, she sends out an explicit explanation of what they're going to do in advance so that maybe I can replicate that, and then what happened and what they focused on during that training. And then we talk about that also by phone. The contact by phone is every week for a while.
Oh, and that's nice. So you can have a real live integrated Q&A. This is what Vienna did. What's the best response? Would you have like those random interactions outside your home that you'd be referring to, or what kind of queries?
So this is the same person who the dog lived with for a month.
Oh, I see.
So she really knows that individual dog. And so makes it even easier when we connect by phone, it's either about questions she has specifically or things specific to train me about that particular dog at that age.
Now, has this dog already has a client in mind or a young person in mind as you train the dog specific to that client?
No, they have a waiting list. And but they are always thinking about, from the minute they first meet the dog at the breeder, they are always thinking about who might this dog be appropriate for. And it gets honed in on as the dog gets older. Once the dog leaves me, they've got the dog for like 6 months of college.
They being the master trainer again, or the household?
Thank you for clarifying that. The organization.
I see.
And then they have a group of trainers that continue that intensive training, and that's college. All through those levels, from first meeting the dog until pretty far into their training.
So I'm thinking
they're being matched.
This is pretty intense. You have the little one from 4 months, and how long do you have this pup?
Usually 12 to 15 months.
And what are the criteria? You said you don't necessarily have to have a dog. Do you have to have a certain kind of household, or, you know, are there limitations to your lifestyle that might be some considerations if you were to take on a dog?
They do want to know that the dog is going to be safe first.
Sure.
That you will have the time, but there's a whole special thing about the time because you're with them 24/7. That makes it much easier. If you're going to have to leave the dog, like to go to work every day, and nobody else in your family is to take the dog, that could be a problem. But I've never had a work setting that said, no, I couldn't bring the dog.
Oh, wonderful.
Because this is part of how the work setting gives back as well.
Right, right, right. Well, listen, if you're just tuning in to a very interesting conversation, this is KPDZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington, and I'm Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. Today, I'm speaking with Marta Krisovich of the Autism Service Dogs of America. We were just talking about the limitations or criteria for someone to have a dog in their home, and it occurred to me, you know, time is a big part of this, and you do introduce them to the outside world quite a bit in the training module. Tell us a little bit about that.
It sounds like, oh my gosh, it's going to take so much time to train this dog. But because you're living with the dog, because the dog's with you all the time, it becomes an extension of just how you live.
Right.
Right now, the dog is laying under the table and being quiet. I'm training the dog while I'm talking to you. So it makes it far, far easier to train the dog. And in terms of criteria, again, for families, if you've got another dog, that's great. They want these dogs to be socialized with other dogs. They want the dog to be in a community, in a neighborhood where there's other dogs. If you've got kids, that's great. If you've got a chaotic household, that's great. If you don't have any of those things, that's fine too. What they want is to have every opportunity to expose this dog to whatever it might come across later on in life.
Well, tell us how someone might connect with this organization in terms of the best phone number or the best website, so that if they're listening to this and they're slightly interested in exploring more about it.
The website is AutismServiceDogsOfAmerica.org. Their email is information@asda@gmail.com. And they're based in Tualatin, Oregon.
So I love that you're living in Port Townsend, and you. The first couple of things that really strike me is you started with this organization in a process of grief. And the other thing you said was they really support you with a lot of training. And the thirdly, it kind of slides into your life as it exists. And I think that is really eye-opening. Let's talk a little bit about misconceptions about dogs and raising a puppy. And perhaps we should carve out some time about the topic of autism and how these dogs serve our autistic community.
I would love to do that. Thank you. One of the misconceptions is that service is bad for dogs, that it's not fair to the dogs. I don't get this very often, but some people who just love dogs adamantly come up to me and they're angry or they're concerned about the life of this dog. They think they're mistreated, that they are just a thing, and that they don't get a chance to be a normal dog. Nothing could be farther from the truth. These dogs have a charmed life. They're with their person all the time. That's what a dog wants the most.
And their service jacket comes off, and that's puppy time.
Oh, when their jacket is off, they are just a puppy.
So that is a signal. When we see a dog with a jacket, we need to realize, as just someone in the community, this dog has a purpose. And how do we approach you when you have a service dog on hand?
Thank you for asking that. A lot of people are kind of concerned. They want to do the right thing, and they're not sure what to do. Some organizations require the person, don't want the person to talk to the dog. They welcome you talking to the person with the dog. For this organization, it's fine to talk to the dog. Just don't touch the dog. Reach out to touch the dog. But people are going to talk to dogs, so it's part of their training to know that they can just sit and watch. Smile and be polite, of course. Ask permission before touching the dog. There are situations, like with a child. A child may, it's fine for them to touch the dog, but we do it in a specialized way so the dog knows they have permission, so they don't approach all children. And so but some people want to feed the dog. They want to do all kinds of things. Some purposely want to distract the dog, but distraction is okay.
Okay. And so you specifically are raising a puppy to serve the autistic community, and this organization really supports what demographic of autism? Is it all throughout any age, or is it just children?
They've placed from as early as 4 years old to as late as 24 years old. But they don't have an automatic cutoff. It depends on the need of the family and the child with autism, or adult with autism. But they do match the demeanor and capabilities of the dog with the needs of that family and child with the autism.
Now, you also brought in a book that we were going to try to spend a little bit of time leaning into for some autism information. And you shared with me this is a local author who has a young person in their life.
Yes. There's a couple of things that are really local for people to turn. One is, of course, the Gathering Place, and they serve children with autism just as many other children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, as you're out in the street and you've got this dog, this adorable dog with this coat, people approach you all the time. It's a wonderful way to meet people. And one of the times I was out, I met a woman named Cindy Rasmussen. She wrote a book called Autism, A Family Journey, about her child with autism, and gave me a copy. She lives in Port Ludlow. The book is available on Amazon. Mm. And what it does is it talks about some of the realities, the fear. Safety is a very big concern of parents, mm. and how they navigated that. And that is the priority for dogs who serve children with autism, is their safety. But also trying to navigate the system with supports in the community mm. and social services and many other things. I found it rather eye-opening. It also helps you understand the isolation and loneliness of families and children with autism.
You mentioned earlier when we were talking that there's a wait list for service dogs for autism folks. What is the wait time for one to have a service dog in their home?
It fluctuates, of course, but it's often a year to a year and a half.
And if someone were interested in learning more about having one of those dogs serve the needs of a family member with autism, where would they go? Would they also go to the same organization you mentioned, or is it a separate?
Same organization.
And probably a certain application for that process?
There is an application process. They have a lot of information for exactly all of the steps. Mm-hmm. The best way to get started is
to go to the same website of the ASDA.
Yes.
I am so thrilled to talk with you. We don't have enough time to dive deeper. I know one of the questions that came to mind is, you know, do we have foster moments where we could just tiptoe in? And you'd mentioned that just sitting. So could we have you back on and learn a little bit more about this service dog opportunity and volunteerism?
Sure. And in the meantime, if anyone has wants more information, again, that email is information.asda@gmail.com.
Marta, thanks again for coming in. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. So go out, get involved, and make it a great day.